Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Friday the 5th of June. Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast. Marto, Margo, Nick Cody, what did you pick up off the curb? That's something we asked this morning. But really, it was all about the demolition of the Broncos at Suncorp last night. You guys had a chat about it. Dobbo, Gordy Tallis.
Oh, Gordy unloaded. That was
everybody's having a say on it, it seems.
Someone's got to be sacked.
Yep.
Who goes, Marto?
Oh, well, it's right at the top. Whitey. Paul White.
Well, he's going anyway. Isn't he going to go be the CEO of the NRL?
I think they're
going
to hang on to him for another year.
Oh.
Anyway.
Recruitment and retention, is that where it's at?
Well, that's what Gordy told
Players,
me. He knows.
Coaches.
Dobbo, our NRL insider. I think that will be released separate. So it won't be in this catch-up podcast, but listen out for the Gordon Tallis chat. Anything that didn't make the show before we head into the weekend?
You know that bin isolation outing page on Facebook where people get dressed up and take their bin out?
Yeah.
That could go and get rooted. Like, that's the end. Like, we can all go out.
You follow it, though, don't you?
No, it comes up. How do I get rid of that stuff?
You've got to unfollow it. You join the group.
Here's my granddad, Kelvin. He's 95. This is his outing for the week. Oh, shut up. The world's open again.
Marto, your problem is you join lots of those groups for research, for radio. Is there another one that you're a part of about bras or something or other?
What?
Hold on. What are you up to here?
No, I'm serious. Don't you follow one, something about the bras? They called the bras or something?
The bra boys?
Not the bra boys.
No, I don't know. Anyway, you follow all these random pages.
Yes, I do follow random pages, but I don't know what you're talking about. I don't follow any rude ones.
I can't remember what it was now. I'm going to put myself on the spot.
No, bin lid stands. Now, that was, and I still do, because that was when the garbo puts your bin down after he picks it up in the truck. Have you ever seen this? I haven't spoken to you guys about it, but I was fascinated by a year. You have a look at that on your Facebook, mate. Bin lid stands, and it hits the ground, the lid flies open and it lands on the lid and the wheels. Like, it's like a tripod. It doesn't just sit vertical.
Yeah, it's like a trick.
Yeah.
It lands perfectly.
How does the garbo do it? Some of them are really good if he puts the bin down roughly, and there's a whole Facebook page devoted to photos of bins leaning on their lid.
Wow, you need to get out more, Marto.
Well, you asked me, do I follow any weird pages, and that I do. You guys not into that as much as me.
No.
My wife thought it was odd.
Nick Cody, you're one of the influencers in the wild. That's the best.
Oh, mate, I'm on board now. Margot sent me through that. Influencers in the wild is the best. You're just seeing boyfriends hating life.
That is great. Now, you put me on the brown cardigan. Now, that's a bit odd.
Yeah. It's classic, that one.
Mm. I follow hot dudes reading.
What?
It's just hot guys reading.
Without the shirt on,
like
reading
on the train
a book.
Or, you know, at the bus stop or in their home.
Well, step away. Step away.
If you have any social media recommendations, get in touch. Triple M Brisbane.
This is taking a real turn.
Yeah, we've
for
really
the
got to get out of here. Yeah. We're off. See ya. It's Triple M's Big Breakfast. You can listen live on the Triple M app if you want, or even on your smart speaker at home. We're giving away a pub today, pub takeover. That's happening just before 8 o'clock this morning, Marto.
All right. Now, supercars, they haven't started back, but they'll be starting soon. All right.
That was a drag car, that one.
All right.
Oh, was it?
Can I talk? In 2015, okay, I worked for Fox Sports for a year on the V8 supercar.
You're down on the grid, weren't you? Chat to all the drivers.
And I reckon every second round, they always said, because they're hours and hours and hours to fill, they used to go, go and talk to Renee. Now, Renee Gracie started her supercars career in 2015, and she didn't have to drive every week, but she was driving for Paul Morris. And I used to think, wow, she's interesting. What's she doing now? Just tell me.
Well, she's adapting her business, obviously,
during
the coronavirus.
Give me the news headline.
Well, she started a couple of things, Marto. She started a grill business on the Gold Coast. And if you want to know what a grill business is.
Grilled?
Mouth House. No, not the burgers. It's the gold and diamante bling for your teeth. That's, you know, that you see rappers wear in America?
Yeah, of course.
She started a grills business on the Gold Coast.
Don't even be silly.
Teeth whitening.
Mate, we're 7 minutes to six. We can talk like adults. And here's the headline. Former V8 supercar driver has gone into adult entertainment, into the porn industry. Dave, was that you?
Yeah, it's my craft.
Unnecessary.
No need for that. Come on.
I'm in charge of the buttons. I do what I want.
Keep it to throbbing revs, okay? Just some more throbbing revs. Oh, God, what about this? Now, Nick, I saw her and went, wow, you know, interesting young girl, straight into it. And she was only 21 in 2015. And
yeah.
She never won a race. She was a dud driver, but she had big boobs. So it's a logical career move, correct?
Mm. Well, originally, it seems to be for her.
Which one?
Hold on. I don't think she originally looked like that, though. I think she took a stop in a medical pit lane for a bit of...
Do you reckon they boosted her performance of her chest? God.
She's had a few enhancements.
Allegedly.
I remember vividly, I'll never forget her racing career. She finished 18th one day and everyone went, Renee's on.
And she admitted to that. Like, I went through her Instagram and checked her out a little bit because this is not the first time I've encountered her, her Instagram. But I went through and had a look and she's posted a video just saying, look, I just want to straighten out some misconceptions about what it is that I'm doing. I'm not actually having sex with anybody.
If you're
sending videos and posting photos,
if you win the top 10 shootout, you get to rumpy pumpy with Renee Gracie. Let's just say
you get pole position.
Brilliant, Margo. Mm.
But no, she's just sending photos and videos, nude photos and videos of her boobs and ass, as she says on her Instagram. I mean, more power to her. You know, isn't this what we fought for years and generations of, you know, feminists and equality and all of those things?
Is there any shots of, like, I'd love a shot
her
of
body.
Letting
she can
a fire extinguisher
her
off over her nude body? Ooh. Wouldn't that be, how much would you pay for that?
I don't know, Marto, how much would you pay for that?
Get on OnlyFans.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, if you just woke up and went, I missed the league last night. Well, safe to say, Broncos can't run, can't score, can't tackle.
It's become an embarrassing night for Brisbane, the great club.
I'm shocked. I'm sitting here in shock.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dave. That's brought the mood up. Oh, Nick, did you watch it? You did.
I certainly did. I did go to bed at halftime thinking there's no way they're going to turn this around. No. I can't believe I'm saying this, but can we just get them back to the pokies? Remember back in the pokies days?
So true.
No, that's where this all started. They lost to Parramatta.
58-0.
58-0 at the end of
last
year. And then they lost last week.
Better than 59-0.
What was it? 39-6 or 34-6.
And then 59. Jesus. What is going on? But it looked so good at the start of the year. Mm. Yeah, those first two games.
A lot of injury, some suspension sidelines. It's a young side. I mean, Anthony Seibold said, we have 10 players with under 30 games experience.
And that's what happens with young men these days. When they tell them things, like the government's been saying, social distance, keep apart, don't touch people. And Darius Boyd's gone, I understand what you're saying. I don't want to have anything to do with being close to any other human. Well done, Darius.
I saw him before that second try last night. The guy was running at him and he was running backwards, going a metre and a half. Yeah, okay.
Hey, hey, hey. Yes.
There's been a few comments on Twitter. Shall I read you?
Who do they want sacked? Seibold.
Has Twitter gotten negative?
There's a fair bit of chat about Darius and Anthony.
Did you see Corey when he got home last night?
I didn't.
You haven't spoken to
haven't
former
spoken
assistant
to him,
coach?
No. And I always have to be mindful of what I say because I love the Broncos.
So do I.
And I don't want to bag them out because, you know, they will get past this. This too shall pass, my mum always used to say to me. But the Brisbane Broncos defence leaked more points tonight than a cardboard crowd. Cutouts bladder full of beer.
Did you see all the messages going, the cardboard cutouts went home just before full time.
I saw Mr. Forex crying at one point.
Oh. Just as well, there was no one here to see it. Yes, that's the real score. No Tedesco, no worries for the Roosters. Plenty of worries for the Brisbane Broncos, though. So the worst two losses ever have come out of their past five games. That's a concern. Lots of people tweeting.
Can you load up your next one? I'll just go to Tony from Eagleby. Hi, Tone.
There you go, mate.
What did you make of it? Give us the real analysis.
Mate, that coach needs a boot up the bum, mate. A boot up the bum. They weren't even match fit. They weren't even match fit or mentally in it.
Well, they've just spent 7 weeks in isolation, not being able to train. They've only had two weeks.
How come
the
Rooters look so impressive? How come the Eels look so impressive?
Come on. Go to the Roosters.
Two-time premiership team, though. The experience in that side, you've got to give them a little bit of credit where credit's due. No, is it Anthony Seibold's fault? You know, like I know they always say, sack the coach. But isn't it the players underneath the coach?
There are no old heads. Can I just, Shane's written on Twitter, hey, Marta, give Darius a rest. He defended well. It was his inside man who let him down. I don't think so. The inside man made that tackle and he bid in and then puts, how would you like to be Corey? Anyway, Barry from New Beach.
Good morning, guys.
But can I just ask you, so Shane's had a go at me saying, give Darius a rest. Fair dinkum, you're getting paid $700,000 a year to do that. What do you reckon?
These guys are professional football players. They should know what they're doing. The Darius boy just needs to bite the bullet and, okay, it's time, you know.
Yep.
It's just not happening for him anymore. He knows this. Mm.
Well, it happened last year. He avoided physical contact, and I kept saying it and kept saying it, and then it came true in the semi-final. He was just he's tackle reluctant. That's what he is, and it happens. Sometimes you just go, I don't want to get hit anymore. Mm. I don't want to hit people anymore, and that's where he's at. Anyway.
Tristan from Regent's Park, the Broncos game last night. What was your take on it?
It's the same as Marto, mate, or Cody. I went to bed at halftime, mate.
Yeah.
And as I said to Nick or Cody, mate, I said, I'm gutted, I'm disgusted, and I'm disgraced, mate. And Margo, I feel like going up to Corey. If it wasn't, you can't touch people and giving them a big hug, mate. Same with Webkin, same with Side A and all the good boys, mate, because when I come from Broken Hill, I came up in 92, mate, and that's when I knew about rugby league.
Well, did you watch that first season when they won the premiership?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. That's how good I know the Broncos could be.
Yeah. Mm. Now, Tristan, it's been enjoyable analysing rugby. Oh, is Tristan
gone? Ben Teo, you were talking about old heads.
They're
saying we need some experience. We need someone with a bit of culture and depth and experience. Ben Teo, is that the
what
solution?
What about those two Morris brothers? They're nearly 34 years of age and they played like absolute champions. I mean, how come we've got dud old blokes and they've got good old blokes?
Well, all of our old blokes have moved on. Is this a new phase for the Broncos? You know, like, is it a turning point? Are we at the bottom of the cycle and this team's going to, you know,
check,
get better and experience? It's going to take us a couple of years.
We are the richest club in the league.
We are the most successful.
We have the largest catchment area. We should be the greatest club. When did we last win a premiership?
Maybe we need to talk to Nick Livermore again from the Bombers.
We need more teams in Brisbane? I don't know. Bloody hell. Have we got time for one more?
Yeah, we do. But good thing to note, Marto. I got an email yesterday. Junior footy's coming back. So that's something to look forward
to. Let's cling to that.
Nathan from the Sunny Coast.
Hey, young guys.
Yeah, good. Were you tweeting? Were you Facebooking? Were you furious at the TV last night?
I don't tweet or Facebook or anything like that. Darius doesn't look very emotional into it. He's just looking at the end game for the end of the season, I think. I don't want to pick on the guy, but he's just looking. He's supposed to be a leadership player. I know he's no longer captain, but he can do a little bit more than what he has done. I think Payne Haas is the future. He was just an animal last night, but he only do it.
He's the only one, though. All right.
Darius would be the only one over 30. Who else have they got?
Margo, let's be fair, Nick, and before we came on air, when you walked in this morning, you said they've got no mongrels. That's what you said to me, Nathan.
Yeah. They looked like soft and gentle in defence, you know, like when, what's his name, the young fella?
Payne Haas.
No, for the Roosters.
Oh, Victor Radley.
Victor Radley. When dumped Flegler on his back, Waria Hargraves, they were all around him. He just looked aggressive. And I feel like we just lacked that. We just lacked that aggression. I felt like it last year, and I think this year is going to be the same. We're too soft. We need to get some mongrel about us.
Can I be completely clear? We are not up the Broncos. We are going to remain with them forever, but we just have to be honest if we're going to be fans.
Triple M's Big
Breakfast. That was shit.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Oh, guys, curbside pickup is happening.
In your suburb?
Yes.
I haven't seen any of it this year. What's been put out?
Well, we live at Cornubia and our kids go to school at Daisy Hill. And every day on the drive to do pickup, I'm noticing that people have got their stuff out everywhere. So it must be Daisy Hill, Chatswood, that sort of area.
Everyone gets a go.
Yeah, everyone gets a go. And it's their turn at the moment. And we're driving home from school pickup the other day. I had Corey in the car with me. He's like, slow down. Look at those chairs. I was like, what? He's like, they're nice. I was like, they're broken. Someone's put them out on the curb because they're clearly rubbish, because if they wanted to keep them or restore them or get money for them, if they were any good, they'd probably put them on Facebook Marketplace.
Nick, do you reckon because of the pandemic and the lockdown for 9 weeks, this could be one of the greatest throw-out years in our history?
Right.
Well, you talk to the people at the dump, and I go to the dump for a fair bit. They've said this has been the busiest time ever because people have had a time to look around and go, I'm throwing that out. And then people can go to the dump. If you can't go to the dump, you're waiting for this for the curbside collection and you're out there now. Top three items?
Well, but
TVs?
Generally anything good you
shit
would sell,
fans,
wouldn't you?
Crap fans.
Heaps of couches, yeah. Fans, old like little tables, kids' bikes.
Years ago, my mate's couch ended up on a current affair.
Why?
Well, there was a bloke coming around and he said, "God, it was curbside pickup." And my mate had his old, it was so rotten, this couch, thrown out the front, had been rained on, broken. He said, "Can I have that?" And my mate said, "Yeah, no worries." And a few weeks later, he's at home watching A Current Affair and they interviewed a guy whose entire house was decked out with stuff from curbside pickup.
Including that lounge.
That's my bloody couch.
I put a couch on curbside pickup and my girlfriend's, it stayed there forever. Nobody wanted it. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriends used to come, pull up, they'd sit down, have a cup of tea on it out the front and then send me pictures. I'm like, I'm inside. Come and tell me to come out and join you. Nah. They'd just send me a picture of having a cup of tea on my couch.
I live near a train station, about 300 metres from a train station, and it's up a hill. So they used to get to the couch that I put one out and it took 3 weeks for someone to get it. It rained about three times on it. And still, someone finally picked it up. People will grab anything.
Yeah. I did get a couch, a big, beautiful black leather couch from the lady a couple of doors down. Yeah, she had put it in storage and then when they moved in, realised it had a little bit of surface mould on it. So she just turfed it and I was like, oh, I know a mould guy. I can get rid of that easily. And now we've got this big, beautiful, I reckon it'd be 3 or 4 metres long in our TV room, big black leather lounge. It's beautiful.
Amazing.
133353. I want to know, what did you pick up off the curb? Because you can get some good things.
God, yeah.
Like, even though I, you know, cursed Corey for it the other day, but they were crappy chairs. He's like, oh, we can restore them and reupholster them. And I'm like, that's a lot of money and a process.
It's
Let's
so
just
true.
Go and buy new chairs.
One person's trash
is another man's treasure.
That's right.
James from Redcliffe, did you pick up something off the curb?
Yeah. I pick up a lot of stuff off the curb, but the best one is laptops. If you get laptops off the curb, all the old laptops that don't work, and you can get gold out of them.
What do you mean gold?
In the
laptop.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how. You have to Google it, but because everyone will find out.
Hey.
But you can get gold out of the laptops. Just go around and pick them all up.
James, you're are you one of those guys that drives a van and goes around and picks up everybody's stuff?
Oh, I love you, Marco. Marco, you're the best.
You didn't answer the question, James.
if you give me the pub, I'll take you all to the pub.
He wants to in the
van. Hold on, I'm not falling for that. Get in my van, I'll take you to the pub.
Hey, James.
My mum said, don't trust strangers.
How much in every laptop? Well, is it $100 worth of gold? So not much.
It's only $20 or something.
Yeah, but if you get enough laptops, it adds up. That's a couple of beers.
Yeah, it's got a couple of beers. I won't have to if I get the pub.
Well, yes, you've already mentioned that, James.
We'll see, Paul. Good morning.
Morning, gang. How are we?
Yeah, good. Chermside, what's the curbside pickup like out there? Any nuggets of gold?
There was. It was about 8 years ago. I picked up a brand new Fisher-Paykel fridge and washing machine.
Brand new? Well, what was the story?
I was just driving along. I think I was coming back from work and I had the ute. And I just looked over and I'm going, what the hell?
Hey.
I jumped south and I opened it up and still got all the trays and didn't look like it. Much had been in it at all. The spot was inside.
What was the catch, Paul? Was there something wrong with it?
I don't know, but it was in the back of a ute within about 2.5 minutes.
are you sure they still weren't just dropping it off and they were inside the house and go, we'll go out and get the fridge in a sec?
I didn't see that removalist truck until I got around the corner.
Good work, Paul. Lovely.
Daryl.
You know what does happen, though? Some people go around if they see electrical goods and will cut the plug just to be nasty.
Oh, that's not nice.
You know that happens. Daryl, have you ever heard of that happening?
No, I haven't heard of that happening, but I found an 84 pool table on the side of the road.
Oh, my God. In crappy condition?
Oh, one of the legs was split, so we cut them off and put folding legs on it. We resurfaced it with canvas, and we used to take a camping with us at Fraser and Morton Island.
You put canvas on it instead of felt?
Well, mate, if it rains, the felt just goes all mouldy, and then you can't play pool on it.
Oh, my God, you used to put it on the ute and go camping with it and play pool?
Yeah, people used to drive up and down the beach looking at us like fools playing pool and having a few beers.
What a genius.
That's
you
genius.
Are. You are.
Outdoor pool.
Where'd you pick it up, Daryl?
Oh, I think I picked it up around Robertson.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, they don't mind taking good shit away around there. It's a good area.
Right. Did it come with balls and cues or anything, or just the table?
Nah, mate, it was just the table.
A travelling pool table. That is a luxury.
It is genius. Legs.
I think Daryl's going to have to go on our short list of potential winners for this pub takeover.
That's creative.
Signed off on that. All right, Daryl. Thank you. You and Nine Mates could be taking over the Boundary Hotel.
Aren't we announcing that
tomorrow?
Today?
We are announcing it just before 7 o'clock. Oh, so keep your phone on you, Daryl.
All right, man.
Cheers.
Oh, guys, curbside pickup is happening. Because,
in your suburb?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen any of it this year. What's been put out?
Well, we live at Cornubia and our kids go to school at Daisy Hill. And every day on the drive to do pickup, I'm noticing that people have got their stuff out everywhere. So it must be Daisy Hill, Chatswood, that sort of area.
Everyone gets a go.
Yeah, everyone gets a go. And it's their turn at the moment. And we were driving home from school pickup the other day. I had Corey in the car with me. He's like, oh, slow down. Look at those chairs.
Chairs.
I was like, what? He's like, they're nice. I was like, they're broken. Someone's put them out on the curb because they're clearly rubbish, because if they wanted to keep them or restore them or get money for them, if they were any good, they'd probably put them on Facebook Marketplace.
Nick, do you reckon because of the pandemic and the lockdown for 9 weeks, this could be one of the greatest throw-out years in our history?
Right.
Well, you talk to the people at the dump, and I go to the dump for a fair bit. They've said this has been the busiest time ever because people have had a time to look around and go, I'm throwing that out, throwing
don't
that
need
out.
That, don't
and
need
then people can go to the dump. If you can't go to the dump, you're waiting for this for the curbside collection and you're out there now. Top three items?
Well, but
TVs?
Generally anything good you would
shit
sell,
fans,
wouldn't you?
Crap fans.
Heaps of couches, fans, old like little tables, kids' bikes.
Years ago, my mate's couch ended up on a current affair.
Why?
Well, there was a bloke coming around and he said, God, it was curbside pickup. And my mate had his old, it was so rotten, this couch, thrown out the front, had been rained on, broken. He said, can I have that? And my mate said, yeah, no worries. And a few weeks later, he's at home watching A Current Affair and they interviewed a guy whose entire house was decked out with stuff from curbside
including
pickup.
Including that lounge.
That's my bloody couch.
I put a couch on curbside pickup and my girlfriend's, it stayed there forever. Nobody wanted it. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriends used to come, pull up, they'd sit down, have a cup of tea on it out the front and then send me pictures. I'm like, I'm inside. Come and tell me to come out and join you. Nah. They'd just send me a picture of having a cup of tea on my couch.
I live near a train station, about 300 metres from a train station, and it's up a hill. So they used to get to the couch that I put one out and it took 3 weeks for someone to get it. It rained about three times on it and still someone finally picked it up. People will grab anything.
Yeah. I did get a couch, a big, beautiful black leather couch from the lady a couple
from
of curbside. Doors down. Yeah, she had put it in storage and then when they moved in, realised it had a little bit of surface mould on it. So she just turfed it and I was like, oh, I know a mould guy. I can get rid of that easily. And now we've got this big, beautiful, I reckon it'd be 3 or 4 metres long in our TV room, big black leather lounge. It's beautiful.
Amazing.
133353. I want to know, what did you pick up off the curb? Because you can get some good things.
God,
like, even though I, you know, cursed Corey for it the other day, but they were crappy chairs. He's like, oh, we can restore them and reupholster them. And I'm like, that's a lot of money and a process.
It's
Let's
so
just
true.
Go and buy new chairs.
One person's trash
is another man's treasure.
That's right. Mm.
James from Redcliffe, did you pick up something off the curb?
Yeah. I pick up a lot of stuff off the curb, but the best one is laptops. If you get laptops off the curb, all the old laptops that don't work, and you can get gold out of them.
What do you mean gold?
In the laptop.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how. You have to Google it, but because everyone will find out.
Yeah.
But you can get gold out of the laptops. Yeah. So you just go around and pick them all up.
James, are you one of those guys that drives a van and goes around and picks up everybody's stuff?
Oh, I love you, Marco. Marco, you're the best.
Yeah. No, you
that
didn't
wasn't
answer.
Confirmed.
No, you didn't answer the
question,
James.
if you give me the pub, I'll take you all to the pub.
Oh, he wants to in
the
pub.
Van. Hold on, I'm not falling for that. Get in my van, I'll take you to the pub.
Hey, James.
My mum said, don't trust strangers.
How much in every laptop? Well, is it $100 worth of gold? So not much.
It's only $20 or something.
Yeah, but if you get enough laptops, it adds up. That's a couple of beers.
Yeah, it's got a couple of beers. I won't have to if I get the pub.
Well, yes, you've already mentioned
pub,
that, James.
We'll see, Paul. Good morning.
Morning, gang. How are we?
Yeah, good. Chermside. What's the curbside pickup like out there? Any nuggets of gold?
There was. It was about 8 years ago. I picked up a certainly a brand new Fisher Paykel fridge and washing machine.
Brand new. Well, what was the story?
I was just driving along. I think I was coming back from work and I had the ute. And I just looked over and I'm going, what the hell?
Hey.
Mm. I jumped south and I opened it up and still got all the trays and didn't look like it. Much had been in it at all. The spot was inside.
What was the catch, Paul? Was there something wrong with it?
I don't know, but it was in the back of a ute within about 2.5 minutes.
Are you sure they weren't just dropping it off and they were inside the house and go, we'll go out and get the fridge in a sec?
Well, I didn't see that removalist truck until I got around the corner.
Good work, Paul. Lovely.
No. Daryl.
You know what does happen, though? Some people go around if they see electrical goods and will cut the plug just to be nasty.
Oh, that's not nice.
You know that happens. Daryl, does that? Have you ever heard of that happening?
No, I haven't heard of that happening, but I found an 84 pool table on the side of the road.
Oh, my God. In crappy condition?
Well, one of the legs was split, so we cut them off and put folding legs on it. We resurfaced it with canvas, and we used to take a camping with us at Fraser and Morton Island.
You took a camp? Sorry, you put canvas on it instead of felt?
Well, mate, if it rains, the felt just goes all mouldy, and then you can't play pool on it.
Oh, my God, you used to put it on the ute and go camping with it and play pool.
Yeah, people used to drive up and down the beach looking at us like pools, playing pool and having a few beers.
What a genius.
That's
you
genius.
Are. You are.
The outdoor pool.
Where'd you pick it up, Daryl?
Oh, I think I picked it up around Robertson.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, they don't mind taking good shit away around there. It's a good area.
Great. Did it come with balls and cues or anything, or just the table?
Nah, mate, it was just the table.
A travelling pool table. That is a luxury.
It is genius. Legs. Mm.
Gary?
We picked up a motorised lawn aerator about 15 years ago on a curbside pickup.
All right. Gary, all right. Do you know that this
let's
is
stop
Marto's
the show. Let's
thing
stop
to
the
talk
show
about
right
is
now.
For us.
Where did you get it, Gary?
Oh, mate, what around, just around the neighbourhood in Brackenridge.
So one of those big rollers with the spikes on it.
No, a motorised one, actually a core one. You know, you pulls the cores out.
Yeah, of course I do.
You're pretty heavy, mongrel.
Yeah, and so...
It was working?
Yeah, all we got. Yeah, change the spark plug, put a bit of fuel in it, that's about it. Wow. She went.
Brilliant.
And she still goes, Gary?
She's in repairs at the moment. We've got a bit of problem with the fuel tank.
How good is your grass, though, Gary?
It's not as good as it should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe just leave it there then.
Dry old times we're having at the moment, Gaz.
Thanks for the call, Gary. As soon as Marto saw the word lawn, he had to talk to
it
him.
It said Gary from Brackenridge lawn chat, and I thought, oh, this is stop the show. All right, I know we have songs and everything else we have to do. Let's push on.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
ScoMo, our Prime Minister, had to go out and about and try to sell his proposal. So obviously he has assistants, okay? Mm-hmm. And, oh God, I've had enough of him. He went to a building site and he was doing that elbowing thing.
Because you can't shake hands.
Stop it. Why can't you shake hands? Anyway, some of us still shake hands. Anyone here shake hands?
I do. Yeah. I still kiss and hug people.
Oh, hold on.
Not like on the lips.
On behalf of the government.
Like just air kiss, right, you know, on the cheek.
What I want to get to. So obviously he has advisors who go, I tell you what we'll do. We'll have a press conference on near a building site, okay? Near houses are being built so that people can see frames and they can see tradies, utes and stuff. Righto. ScoMo pulls up in the Prime Minister limo.
Did he have a hard hat on and some high vis?
No, he didn't, because when he was on site and showing, you know, him walking through a building being a house being built, he did have, but then he went outside to hold the press conference. And a lot of people would have seen this footage. If you haven't, he was on a bloke's, and the bloke hadn't finished because he obviously, I looked at the house in the background, and he was about to do some paving. He had all the pavers lined up for his walkway out of his house to the road.
Mm.
Okay, so this poor bloke comes out. People move in before the house is finished. Yeah, so he's obviously just
generally
woken
like
up.
Landscaping or something like that hasn't
right.
been done.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And often they don't have. Well, anyway, he's looked out the front door, and there's a bloody press conference involving the Prime Minister out the front. And you know how I love my turf. Corey loves his turf. Mm-hmm. I've spoken about turf occasionally on the. I know exactly what was motivating this bloke. He's come out, and there's journos standing on his front lawn.
Everyone get off the grass, please.
Sure. Let's just move back from there.
Hey, guys, I've just reseeded that.
Yeah, please, sorry, off the man. Thing.
It was just gold halfway through.
Fair enough, ScoMo.
And ScoMo, to his credit, told all the journos, because it was only the footpath, only the front little bit.
He must be a grass man, he understands.
That's right.
Make sure you get off that bloke's lawn.
Yeah, see? And I appreciate that. It shows that ScoMo's a real bloke. I think the ScoMo, I don't reckon he gets anyone to, I reckon he still mows his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
anyone else picking him as a lawnmower?
Yeah, and when
Nick,
you,
don't you reckon?
When you freshly roll out new turf, like it's a process. You've got to water it, and so therefore, because it's drenched, the soil underneath it is really wet and heavy. And if you stand on it, it leaves a big impression in that new
Margo,
beautiful roll.
They were down around
grass.
Canberra somewhere, and they're dealing with frost there at the moment. The poor bloke's trying to get the thing going, and then you've got all these bloody
those new little seedlings.
Exactly,
Nick Cody. You don't think ScoMo's a lawnmower?
No. Is I just find it funny. Like that bloke had just such dad energy. Mm. Like, yes. I imagine him just sitting up the back on the couch having a beer, and the kids are like, "Dad, ScoMo's on the lawn." He's like, "Bloody ScoMo on the lawn! I'll get him out of here."
Exactly. All right, I just want to see. Do you remember this from Gran Torino? And this is who that bloke was channeling.
Get off my lawn!
Do you remember when he came out with a gun?
Did you hear me? I said, "Get off my lawn!"
He's my favourite. All right, or was he channeling this bloke?
Talking to you. Get off my lawn!
That was when a moose was on home. A moose was on home as lawn. It was just magnificent.
It's Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I sometimes forget how important dogs are in people's lives. Mm. Like the impact it made on Triple M, it would have been 2 days ago. There was a story, a guy rang up, and it was a rambling story, so I'm going to tell it really quickly.
Okay.
But it was about the dog. He had just started. He was about to move out with his girlfriend, okay? And he lived in Sydney. It was a Sydney bloke on overnight, you know, on Luke Bonas show. So he lived at some place, and his girlfriend lived 5 kilometres away, okay, with her mum. She was about to move out. Her mum had a rescue dog, this big German shepherd. So her mum was moving out of the house. This girl was going to move in with this bloke. They were in their early 20s. All right. So the dog got wind of this. Yeah, dogs know if you're going away. And they were starting to pack up the house. The dog panicked and dug underneath the fence and went and moved to that bloke's house. That bloke had met him, but that dog had never been to his house.
How did the dog know where to go?
The guy never explained. Dogs are the most bizarre things, because I bring it up because a mate of mine, we used to be chippies together, we were doing a house at Paddo. He said, "Mate, I remember that story about Barney." I went, "Oh, hold on, remind me." He said, because I did it once in my life. I left my dog at work. Like you have a couple of beers in the old, this is 15 years ago, had a couple of beers. Oh, sorry, I'll finish that first dog story. The dog found that guy's place, okay?
Okay.
He got there.
Yep.
And he said, remember that story? I went home one night and forgot the dog. Went to bed, because in the old days you didn't have mobile phones. We used to have to make all the phone calls. Then you go, "I've had enough, go to bed." Forgot all about the dog. Got to work the next day. The dog was just sitting there waiting for us at the job site.
Wow.
And he said, "We remember about Barney and his dog." So he lived at Graceville. All right. He got home. Same thing, was on the phone. 3 hours later, the dog walked.
Found its way
from
home.
Paddington to Graceville. How do they do it,
these
dogs?
Smart.
And
sniff.
That's not the question.
They've got good senses, don't
Without
they?
Any further ado, 133353. How did your dog get home on its own? Like, in the old days, there used to be dogs wandering around everywhere. There weren't leads. We didn't worry about leads. There
Too
were
many
no fences.
People are picking them up these days and handing them into the council. Just let them be on their way.
They know where they're going.
Find their way home.
Leave him alone. You know, on those postcode the suburb pages.
Facebook pages.
A number of people say, "Look at the dog I found down at the creek today. Look at the dog I found around the street." That dog was going somewhere. It knew where it was heading. How did your dog get home? It might be in the old days. I don't know if this currently goes on, because everyone has to keep their dog locked up. Everyone has to keep their dog in a lead. In the old days, they knew what they were up to.
Yeah, our dogs like to go for a wander, and everybody likes to let us know that they're out.
They know where they live.
Marto, I'm disappointed in you.
What are you disappointed at?
This is one of the almighty great Marto phoners, but there's no song to go with it.
Oh.
How did your dog get home? Stuck. We've got that. We've got, "What does your Brisbane smell like?" Smelliest smell you've ever smelled. We've got
Old man with the young man's name.
How did your dog get home?
If anyone's going to sing it, it has to be me.
Okay.
How did your dog get home? Hi, Teresa from Deception Bay.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah. How did your dog get home?
Well, it's not so much about a story about a dog getting home, but another amazing dog story. My parents died in a very, you know, they were great. They had 92 years of life, and they were buried together at the Redcliffe Cemetery.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, my brother got a new border collie, and he went to visit the gravesite, and the dog jumped out of the car and went straight to Mum and Dad's gravesite.
No.
Never been there.
Now.
They have a
sense. And just lay on Just lay on the gravesite.
Let me unravel this because I know when my dad died, Mum got me over and I got some of his clothes, none of his undies or anything, but a pair of jammies and a few hankies and socks. Mm-hmm. Wonder if the dog had smelt.
Picked up on the scent.
Something.
No. This dog had never had anything to do with Mum and Dad before.
It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, it still gives me the goosebumps.
Now, that is, I can't explain that.
Dogs
but
are special
Teresa
creatures,
obviously
aren't they?
Has forced my hand here. It's no longer how did your dog get home? It's just amazing dog stories.
Lisa from Bean Lee.
Dogs are the best.
How are you today?
Yeah, good. Did you have a how did your dog get home or amazing dog story?
Well, it's probably more an amazing dog story.
I thought so.
We had a little dog years ago. I was only a baby, I was a toddler, but his name was Fritz, and he used to walk up to the top of our street and wait for all the local kids. He used to walk to school, and he'd walk them all to school and then walk back home again, play in the yard, whatever, all day. And then about 10 to 3, apparently he used to leave, and he'd go and wait across the road from the school, wait for all the local kids and walk them all back home again. One day he went to school and he never ever came back. So Mum and Dad don't know whether someone else took him or he decided to pick another family. We don't really know. But, yeah, he just never ever returned. So
I'll never forget
for a little adventure.
Was Fritz a sausage dog? Was that a joke name of some sort?
No. I think he was a little fox terrier or something, if I remember correctly.
Typical.
Apparently, I used to be able to drag him round and sit all over him, and apparently, he was an excellent job. He just loved everybody and anybody, all the kids. And
we'll never forget Fritz.
How good are dogs?
Lisa gone. Yeah. Bob from Callanvale. Amazing dog stories.
Yes, we got an amazing dog on a big trip. We used to live in a sheep property in southern Queensland, and our overseer got a border collie lent to him to train up, and he was 6 months old when he left the local town 30 clicks away. Trained him up for a number of years, and unfortunately Charlie passed away, so we sent the dog back to the owner in the local town. The dog got put in a chicken coop. After a few days, he said he's had enough of that, dug himself out from underneath the chicken coop, walked the 30 k's home, over dirt roads, all things like that, got back to us. So the owner said, just keep him. And after that, you know, we'd be mustering 1,000-acre scrubby paddocks for sheep, and Ted Moore, the dog, would just rock up and say, here's 50 sheep, stupid, I found them for you, and things like that. So,
brilliant.
Amazing dog. Just loved sheep work and did anything to do it.
Oh,
how smart a dog.
Amazing dog story.
It's 50 sheep, stupid.
It's 50 stupid. Yeah, stupid human.
You'd be mustering just mob sheep come for you and think, oh, great. As the dog had done all the work. So
you'd be looking for these.
You'd call yourself a farmer, please.
Oh, I love dogs.
Marto, take us out with a sting.
Which one? The amazing dog stories or how did your dog get home turned into amazing dog stories?
Big breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
You remember pubs? Only vaguely. I'm going to have a beer at one today.
I think what,
first time.
I think what everybody was most looking forward to was having a beer out of the tap.
Draft beer.
Ooh. Because apparently it tastes different to a normal beer.
So you'll have to go and sit down. I'll serve. And that's what's happening. They're serving you at your table. But you can get stuck into it again. And we've got a pub, the Boundary Hotel. We're going to own it and hand it to you tomorrow afternoon. Bang.
We certainly are. We've been taking your calls all week because plenty of people wanted to take over the Boundary Hotel tomorrow afternoon.
Food, drink.
Can we remember everybody that went into the draw? We had Rodney from Pimpinmar. We had Ben from Bow Desert. Amanda from Ipswich. Luke from Redcliffe. Daryl from Burpengary. But there can only be one winner, Marto and Nick.
Here we go. Let's pull it out of the hat. We're doing this completely at random. Luke from Redcliffe.
Yeah, bloody river.
An appreciative winner by the sound of it.
Luke, you and 9 mates are headed along to the Boundary Hotel at West End tomorrow afternoon for private exclusive access to their private front bar, beer, wines, drinks, pizza, whatever
footy
it is
you
want.
Footy will be on, the races will be
it's
on.
It's all yours, mate.
You'll be at the pub, Luke.
Can't wait. Fantastic. We're getting loose, boys.
We're getting loose. Now, I need you to get to that Kippering train station and get you and your 9 mates into South Brisbane and over to the Boundary, mate.
Can't wait. Will do.
Have you got 9 friends you can take with you, Luke?
How hard is that going to be?
I'm sure I can round out a few stragglers.
Good on you, Luke.
Oh, Luke. Actually, Luke, will you have to ring them or will they now start texting you straight away? So, Luke.
Oh, no, they're already texted. The boss is hanging on the radio right now.
What do you do, Luke?
Nice. Congratulations, Luke. You'll be at the Boundary Hotel tomorrow with nine of your mates. Get your friends back to the pub at the Boundary Hotel, West End's most iconic pub, theboundary.com.au. This is great.
Get loose.
Can we do this again?
Yeah, let's go again.
Give away another pub.
Should we give away a pub every week?
Nick, what do you reckon?
Can we do that?
Yeah, of course.
I'm looking at the boss. He's looking at me. Let's
do it.
Yeah, let's have meetings first.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Five questions, and only one person will make it to the finish line and receive the ultimate bounty. It's the Big Breakfast's Last Person Standing.
Oh, I know you're excited about this one because it is Friday, and that means double prize Friday for whoever wins our Last Person Standing 8 a.m. Friday, the 5th of June edition. Noel from Kedron.
Hey, Margo, how are you?
I'm very well, Noel. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. It's just us. We're just friends.
Nah, be nervous.
I'd be really nervous. They're tough questions, Noel, and we've got a bloke who pushes the button, so he's keen to cut you off straight away. Are you more nervous?
Yes. Yeah, no.
Noel, right.
Good luck, son.
If you know the answer, just jump in straight away with it, okay? No thinking, no umming and ahhing. Yep. Just get in.
Now, all right, here we go.
Hold on. Let's address the elephant in the room. Dave.
Yep.
Just take it easy, mate. It's Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on, Dave.
And I like Margot's tip for the quiz. No thinking.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's a warm-up question. You ready, Noel?
Look, that's how I operate. Yeah.
What's Noel spelled backwards? What's Noel spelled backwards?
Leon.
Leon.
There we go. Okay, let's get into it.
Question one.
Name the currency that they use in Ireland.
Pound.
Northern Ireland.
I don't know what that means.
Hold on.
Everyone take a vote, because Northern Ireland is part of Britain and they still use the pound.
They use the pound.
We didn't specify, we just said in Ireland.
You didn't
Ireland.
Say Republic
let's,
of Ireland.
Let's give it to him. Yeah,
give it to him.
Okay, we're giving
another
it to you,
six
Noel.
To go.
That's rough.
They weren't happy with that.
You're still on.
Leon's got the luck of the Irish.
Question two.
Whose ear did Mike Tyson bite in a boxing match?
Oh, God.
It was not God.
Oh, David.
Sorry, no.
Well, Ben, you got lucky the first time.
Welcome, Ben.
How you going?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Ben. We're in the middle of the quiz. Hey,
whose ear did Mike Tyson bite?
Evander Holyfield.
Correct.
Yep.
Event. Question three.
Should we welcome Ben or we don't have time for that? Let's just keep moving.
First time into the quiz, Ben. Welcome to the dojo.
Righto, Ben. Who's older? 50-50 chance. Danny Minogue or the glue stick?
Glue stick.
Righto. Yes,
well done, Ben.
Question four.
The phrase back to square one was popularised by which board game?
Monopoly?
No, it wasn't.
Ben. This could be a tough one. Even Lisa from Redcliffe. First time up. Feels like a... Bye, Lisa.
Back to square one. Game of Life?
Sorry, Lisa. It's not. We say goodbye to you, but we say hello, Jeff from Carina. Also a first timer.
Everyone's being tempted by those double prizes.
Morning.
Today.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Jeff. Come on.
Back to square one.
Back to letters.
That's the one.
There we go. For the win.
Question five.
All right, Jeff, this is it. For the win. Who holds the record for having refereed the most NRL grand finals?
Billy Harrigan.
Oh! Yeah. Hey, Jeff, if you can tell me how many grand finals, I'll give you two prizes.
No, he's getting two prizes anyway.
Shut up, mate.
Right, have a guess,
no
Jeff.
Clue. No,
10.
Okay, let's go with 14.
No, I just told you. It was 10, Jeff.
Jeff, you're still the winner. Congratulations. Last person standing. Won a six-month KO subscription. The footy's back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. Also, $100 instant scratch-its voucher. With over 25 million instant scratch-it wins last year, play today. Congratulations, Jeff.
Nice. Yeah, thanks. I hope I get the 100K like I'll make it.
Oh, yesterday.
You'll slip us a bit, won't you, Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Call us back if you do.
All right.
Congrats, Jeff.
Triple M. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, what happened last night?
59-0.
Oh, that's right. Almost forgotten. Hold on, there's only one bloke we need to talk to. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy Tallis. Tallis. Everyone loves Tallis. Right, you were sitting down there, Gordy, waiting for the Matty Johns show to start. How did you go? How did you see it?
Well, I was getting heckled for 80 minutes from so, but look, I was sort of disappointed at first, and I got a bit embarrassed. I felt sorry. So, like, there's a lot of emotions go through when the club that like you love since you were a 15-year-old kid in 1988 put in a performance like that, you know. And you know, there's a lot of emotions, and every time I talk about the Broncos, everybody says, "Well, you don't like them," and I didn't like Wayne, and now they realise that what I was saying about Wayne might have been true. And every time I say something about the Broncos, no, mate, I'm serious. Every time I say something, "Oh, you just don't like them, you're jealous." Well, I don't know what I'm jealous of. You know, like, I had my career and I walked away.
You won three premierships with the Broncos. So, you will always love them.
So, and I'm just, you know, and I actually felt really sorry for the players last night, Marto. They got thrown in. They're not capable of doing it. They're not getting taught how to do it. Anthony Seibold said it himself. They weren't ready for the blowtorch. Well, that's what the preseason is. That's your job as a coach, is to make sure that these guys are ready for some sort of moment. Of course, a lot comes from within, you know, and that's a great place. Like, everything comes from within for you to push yourself. But the coach has to give you the guidance, and then you got to, you know, keep on reinforcing it and building that platform for yourself, you know, I mean, that foundation, that when you get into a moment like that and your backs are against the wall, that you don't want to give in. And, you know, the defence is paper thin. And, you know, I see Payne Haas, and he's the youngest guy. He's 20, and he's supposed to be carrying this team. And I fell for him last night because he's got to be saved from himself. Like,
he tried.
Yeah, mate, well, he tried. But, mate, this was a guy making 300 metres last year and 200, and he was running. Like, he made 73 metres. You know what I mean? So I just feel sorry, and it was one of those moments where, Marto, where I think I've got an answer for everything, like everybody that sits on a couch and we're professionals, but I don't have an answer for them. Mm. I actually don't, and I don't know where they can go to, and I think they just got to pull it all back a little bit, get some confidence and go out there loving playing footy again, because it just looked like it was a job last night that they didn't like doing.
A lot of criticism, obviously, for Seibold, Milford, Darius, the defence. Is that... You know, everyone's saying, oh, they're in a rebuilding phase and they're young and they're inexperienced. Is that enough of an excuse?
No, they built a $30 million facility quicker than what they're rebuilding a team. They've got the pick of the state.
Yeah.
I know at the Titans, we want someone like Fifita to come. We wanted Haas. You don't get them. The Broncos get the best kids.
Yeah. They get who they want. But they've let go of all the old heads. Is it about not enough old heads, even if they just had one in that pack, convince these kids they can turn this around?
Well, I think the recruitment's poor. The recruiter used to be a glassy at the club, and not to say that it's bad or whatever, but that's... But, mate, you tell me, what have they needed since Alan Langer retired and Darren Lockyer and Kevin Walters? A great half.
Mate, yeah, that wasn't... Mate, Milford and Brodie Croft, they've really escaped detection. Yeah. Their attack was woeful last night as well.
And there's so much, and then you've got a manager that has 15 players that moves their backup hooker, who everybody loves, to Newcastle, and then Tio comes in, another guy that he represents. So I think they're getting played from every angle, the Broncos, and I just don't think they're making smart decisions for the club moving forward. It's just simple as that. Like Mac is well liked, and they were shopping their captain around. They were shopping their captain around to everybody, and now he's captain. Okay, so they were shopping Alex Glenn around.
What is that?
Then all of a sudden you're making captain. Yeah, I know. So, like, if you read between the lines, I don't know what's going on there, but someone needs to go in there and fix it. And when you get disappointed, because the guys, like, mate, when I watched that last night, I think of Wally Lewis and Alan Langer and the great players that have played for that club, and the reason why I wanted to play that, I just wanted to wear that jersey because Wally Lewis wore it.
Yeah.
What is this current group of guys wearing the jersey for?
That's what I was just going to say, Gordy. I feel like there's a lack of passion and a lack of pride in the jersey. It just doesn't seem to have that pulling power that it once did.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know how to fix that because I'm not there day to day, and there's smarter guys there trying to do the job. But when I have my opinion about them, I would change a lot. You know, I just feel sorry for the players. I actually feel sorry for the players. I'm never going to beat those players up because I think they're getting asked to do something that they're not capable of doing.
So they're getting let down by off-the-field decisions that are made.
I think so, yes. Yes, I think so. Mate, I might think recruitment. And you know what? And then, yes, you know, some of the excuses are the rules have changed.
Yeah.
But it changed for every club.
For everyone.
And,
that's right.
And everybody's got to adapt and get along with it. And, you know, and the product's been so good. It's come back to a natural footballer. Someone that just wants to get out there and have a go and roll up his sleeves. And, you know, and then you need a great halfback. And they got a halfback. They come from a great system. They got $1 million 5'8". You know, they've got Darius Boyd. They've got enough talent there, you know.
2016, Gordy, the Roosters finished 15th on the ladder. In 2017, they came back and they finished second. They go on to win 18 and 19.
Yeah.
Is this where we're at for the Broncos? Can we come out of this? And are we just in a rebuilding phase?
Well, they've rebuilt it in how many years?
That's 2 years. Well, they've virtually turned it around in 12 months. If we throw Fifita and Pengo Jr. in that team, do we improve enough?
Oh, yeah, look, there's no doubt that they make a difference, but they don't make a 60 or 60 a 59 point difference. And from our semi-final last year, look, we beat, who did we beat? The Cowboys, who everybody tipped not to make the eight. Down here, no one's tipped South to make the eight. The last three times we played a top 8-4 side in Parramatta, what was it, 60-0 in the semi-final, 40-0, and 60-0. So that's where you're at. You always judge yourself against the best opponents that you can play, and that's the best in the competition at the moment is the Roosters and Para, Raiders and Storm, and that's what we get beaten by. So it's a little bit alarming, and that's how far we are away from the competition.
Appreciate your honesty, mate. Now, you've got to drive back to Brisbane with Kevy. Now, yesterday you were talking about the kangaroos in Africa. Where did we get to with that?
Mate, we're driving along and there's all these animals and we're just talking about how great our country is and it's all getting green. And I said, you know, I've got a theory because there was a few roos, you know, on the side of the road. And I said, I reckon they are so resilient and that's why they're on our coat of arms, Marta. They don't take a backward step. I said, I reckon they would survive in Africa. I think with their agility, how they breed, I think that they would. You know, I think they would go okay.
You know, they annoy me a little bit. They're overconfident, the kangaroo. I just reckon if we introduced a few lions into Australia, we'd knock that overconfidence out. The kangaroo, Jesus.
They leave a pretty big dent in your front bumper.
I have to agree because I'm a really bad golfer and I try to hit the ball hard and they stand in front of me not worried one bit of where the ball's going to go.
They're in the middle of the fairway.
Nobody else is standing in front of me but a kangaroo is standing and go, are you seriously trying to hit that?
Gordy, I've also wondered out loud if kangaroos could survive. Survive in Africa at 6 a.m. but that's generally after I haven't been to bed the night before.
Or been driving for 4 hours on 3 coffees and putting a little 1-year-old to bed the night before.
Mate, you're on your way. Hey, we'll see you soon. We'll always see you on Triple. Oh, we'll hear you on Triple MC on Fox Sports. Thanks, Gord.
Cheers, guys. The Big
Breakfast. G'day, that's it for today's catch-up podcast, 5th of June 2020. Marto Mugger and Nick Cody, The Big Breakfast on Triple M. You can get in touch with the show, 133353, when we're on air, or through social media, Triple M Brisbane. The guys are off for next week. There will be some best-of podcasts coming out, so we'll see you then. Have a great weekend.